Can this be our job? Can we just quit our jobs and do nothing but podcast?
Dude, so I told my girlfriend made a joke, or my fiance.
Can we
No.
announce that?
Sure, let's go ahead and do that since this is time. So the man Josh is now engaged to his girlfriend of 5 years. And so everybody enjoy that if you
I enjoy it. I got super hype when he was telling me because Sammy is fucking fantastic. And like,
That's her
Josh
name,
is.
Sammy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not just some random person. Sammy's fantastic. He's marrying a woman named Brenda, but Sammy's great. No, so Sammy is fantastic. Eventually, she's gonna come on the podcast because we've got stuff in the works.
True.
But Josh is like, he's basically family because like he came on the podcast and like we hang out all the time and he's super awesome. So like now Sammy's gonna be family
Yeah.
because she's forced into it. I don't care if she wants to be here or not.
What's really funny is when I told my mom, she was like, "Are you sure she's okay with this? She doesn't have a chance to back out. She's already said yes." And I was like, "Thanks, mom. Thanks."
My parents like to remind me on a normal, like a regular basis, that it wasn't too late for me to change my mind. And it wasn't because they didn't like Jesse. I think it was more of like a, like, marriage kind of sucks. Are you sure you really want to do this? Like, you could just stay with him and not have to be married. Which, I mean, I feel like I kind of let you down a little bit when you told me about Sammy because you were like, I mean, it's good. There's lots of, fun things about being married. And I was like, not really. It stays the same.
Yeah,
There are no tax benefits.
you literally did just kind of kill my entire mentality on that, but that's not
I'm
gonna
still
that.
super excited about
Yeah, and I am too, and that's the important part. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Subject Tonight. It's your main man, Josh.
And Megan.
I got Megan in the house, and we're gonna have a bit of a different episode today.
Yes.
So Megan has something on her mind that she would like to discuss, and I'm gonna let her do it.
And it's not a rant at all. I'm not upset about it, and we're not I don't feel like I can I don't feel like I can do a whole episode about it, but I feel like we should definitely talk about it after we get through some weird news.
After we get through some weird news, so you
And yeah,
should.
I believe it's my turn.
Yeah, you. I went first last time, so it's your turn now.
Yeah, so do you remember, I'm gonna say 5 weeks ago, when we did the weird news segment over the truck that spilled over, and I thought that people should go steal from it,
Yeah.
and you said no, people shouldn't, people wouldn't do that. I believe is how you do that. Like, no, I don't think people would really do that. Joke's on you,
Okay.
because witnesses in the Philippines raided an overturned brandy truck on, this would have been August 17th, so a couple weeks ago when this episode will be releasing, but a truck overturned in the Philippines while they were taking a sharp corner and spilled hundreds of the little tiny bottles of brandy, so like the miniature bottles,
Yeah.
which is almost the exact same thing that happened in yours, except it wasn't brandy,
Yeah,
was it? It's
it
Fireball,
was
right?
like, yeah, Fireball.
Yeah. And but instead of helping the person or anything, the witnesses just started taking it, and then they were calling more and more people to come take it. And like the truck driver is like, I don't think he was injured badly, but he was injured enough that he wasn't getting out of the truck. And instead of helping him, they were all raiding his truck.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So
That's
it just says people who saw the accident and saw what happened just casually took a bottle and called for others to do so. So that they can help with the quote unquote scavenging. The accident then caused a commotion and a lot of traffic, and that's when police showed up.
Oh, goodness Lord. That's
Yeah, it said
unfortunate.
it, yeah, it says that the driver was not badly injured in the
Oh, well,
crash,
at
is how
least
it
that's
ends.
good.
Yeah.
At least that's good.
Yep. Is something called Emperador Brandy, and everyone stole it. So sorry
That's.
about you guys, but I was right. People definitely would do that. I was not the only person whose mind went there. Apparently, a bunch of people in this town in the Philippines also went there.
Well, you guys are all awful people.
I know.
So, my weird news is something that's, I'd say, I mean, it's weird. All of these things are always
Yeah.
weird. But let's just start with the title. The man with the world's largest fingernails cuts them off after 66 years. Yeah. I'm going to butcher his name. So he's from Prude, India. Or Pune. I don't know. India.
What is it? How do you spell it?
Pune.
Yeah, sure.
India. Pune.
Pune?
Pune.
I don't know.
Pune. He started to grow the fingernails on his left hand when he was 14.
Just on his left hand?
Just on his left hand.
That's upsetting. I kind of wanted to be on both.
After being told off by a teacher for accidentally breaking his long nail. So he's now 82. And he holds the world record for the largest fingernails on a single hand.
But now he's cut them off.
Yes. He flew to the U.S. and had his nails cut off using a small circular saw at a ceremony on Wednesday, last Wednesday, as of this recording, but not as of this releasing, in New York for Ripley's Believe It or Not.
That is insane.
How long are the nails exactly? The longest one's in the thumbnail. It's freaking massive. But the longest one clocks in at 197.8 centimeters, or about 6.5 feet long.
Oh, a fingernail. My lord. So his fingernails are literally as tall as you are.
Yes, actually. 6.5.
Nope. Although, all that reminds me of is, you know those the Buddhist monks that used to come to Franklin and make the sand mandalas and then they would dump them in the river?
Yeah.
Like, that has to be the most, like... What are they? I'm trying to remember what they call that act, but it's like a show that life isn't permanent and you shouldn't hold on to things or something.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be the most Buddhist way to do that, is like grow your nails out for 60 something years and then have them removed.
You know what's crazy though? What? And this is my favorite part of the article. His unusual choice to grow his fingernails out didn't stop him from leading what they call a normal life. He married, had 2 children, and worked professionally as a photographer before doing this.
How do you take pictures with the 6 foot? Did he just take it with like one hand? I'm assuming
he took it with the other hand.
But like, you gotta use one to stay. I mean, I guess you could do a tripod or something. Man, I mean, I feel like that would be cumbersome though.
Oh, this is also. No, I didn't read the whole of this until just now. But the decision to grow his nails did take a toll. He cannot open his left hand from a close position or flex his fingers.
Oh no!
So he wasn't using that hand at all. They must have atrophied a bit.
That would suck.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I would want to do anything bad enough to just lose the use of my limbs. Like, well, I can't think of anything that I want to do badly enough that I just, okay, I'm not going to use my left hand anymore.
No normal people would do such a thing.
I don't know. I mean, props to him. He's a world record holder. I don't hold any world records for anything. But, no.
I mean, I got close, but that wasn't anything relevant, and nor was it like a world record I could have, like, put on Ripley's or anything along those lines.
What did you get close to?
So I, at one point in time, held the number 5 spot on the online leaderboards for Soul Calibur 4.
Ooh, that does not surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
So, like, side story thing, Soul Calibur is literally like my favorite video game. I say that the game I play most is Skyrim, but like, if every other game on the planet were to fall away and I was only left with one game, like, it would be Soul Calibur 3 specifically. And so I've played it since I was like 9-10 years old, and I'm pretty decently good at it. Like, I can beat Jesse, I can beat a lot of people.
We should fight.
That's the thing. I would never go up against you. It does not matter how we should do that for the channel.
We should do it for the channel.
Okay, for the channel.
Like, make one episode of just, like, us taking it out in Soul Calibur.
I mean, I'm going to lose. Everyone knows that. Well, you don't know that.
I haven't played that game in years.
Okay, well,
My good Soul Calibur game was Soul Calibur 4.
If you can promise me that you won't practice.
I won't.
And then I can play.
I mean, how can I practice? You have the console and the only... I can't.
Now, I'm pretty sure that I only have Soul Calibur 3 and Soul Calibur 5.
That's fine.
Soul Calibur 5 is the one that has Yoda on it, right?
No, that's Soul Calibur 4.
Then I do have Soul Calibur 4.
Well, then you don't want to fight me in that one.
I don't want to fight you in that one.
That's the one that I'll destroy you.
No, I'm not going to fight you on that one. So who do you play as in Soul Calibur mostly?
Every Soul Calibur game I play Nightmare.
Oh, literally?
Because he's been in almost every Soul Calibur, every game but the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Nightmare is my boy.
See,
and I kind of flex into some other characters depending on the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would almost have to choose somebody different, because for me, my main go-to girl is Talon.
Talon's great, because almost all of Nightmare's attacks take long to wind up because he has such good
reach. And she's so quick, but you have to be in. So if you get a couple good swings on me and get me knocked back, I'm fucked.
I mean, we'll see. Because
Talon's also really slow to get back up.
True.
She's too busy crying to the wind. Like, wind, why am I on the ground?
But yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Just for the channel. Just for the
likes and the subscribes.
So speaking of things that I like and subscribe to.
Sharknado?
Shark fucking Nado.
So please explain to me what the fuck this thing even is, because I don't understand why. Yeah, just please.
Okay, so
enlighten me.
Let me take you back in time.
Oh Lord.
To 2013. It was a good year, 2013. College and shit. Anyway.
Well, I was already graduated. Well, no. No, I graduated 2014.
2014.
Right.
I was like, you were only 1 year ahead of me. So Sharknado rolls around. We're all just down in the commuter lounge, chilling, maxing, relaxing, all cool.
We weren't shooting any B-walls, though.
No, we were not. Instead, we were on the couch just flipping through shit. And what comes on, except for Sharknado? And I'm like, this looks absolutely dumb. If we're being completely honest, the very first time that I watched it, I left the commuter lounge. I left Jesse and Jacob down there, and I was like, y'all can bye. Bouncing. This is so...
Y'all can buy.
Yeah, y'all can buy. It was upsetting, okay? Because the whole premise of Sharknado is that this, like, estranged couple, Finn and April, have to fight off this literal Sharknado that only appears around them.
So wait, it's a tornado...
Tornado full of fucking sharks, Josh.
Oh.
The tornado brings the sharks... onto the mainland and tosses them at people. And the sharks, like, they want to be in the tornado to eat people. Like, it's like a what do you call it? Symbiotic relationship.
Yeah,
exactly. The tornado comes and the sharks jump into it and then they eat people. Like
how do they get back to the tornado?
It just depends. Sometimes they flop. Sometimes another tornado sucks them back up and brings
them back to the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's not just one individual tornado. It's like multiple tornadoes carrying sharks, okay? So, Finn and April are apparently
that?
The only people that fight this. And they fight them with, like, fucking chainsaws and guns and knives and shit. But for some reason, and it's unbeknownst to me why, they only show up around Finn and April, okay? So, and I don't mean, like, no one else sees them, but, like, in the very first one, it takes place in Los Angeles. And I say the very first one because even though the very first movie was a shit show and it only made $200,000 total, they made six, and or making six. That when we are recording this episode, number six drops tomorrow. I have not seen it yet. I will see it. Don't you worry. But they ended up making six Sharknado movies. So the first one takes place in LA, and Finn and April are the only ones fighting it. There's no army fighting it. The army tries, but the army dies. Okay? Like, these sharks in the Nados, they're vicious. Okay? Vicious sharks and vicious Nados. And then the second one...
I'm gonna need
one,
you to never say that again.
Vicious sharks and vicious natives?
I literally just told you not to say that
again. I was just making sure that vicious sharks and vicious natives...
I am going to murder you. You've seen Chicken Run, right? Get out. I'm done.
Hey, guys.
I'm done.
No,
I'm off this podcast forever.
So the second one, though, takes place in New York, where April has gone.
So, like, in all these, like, populated, like, very, very clearly, like, heavily populated cities.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But, like, the first one takes place on the West Coast. The second one takes place on the East Coast. Like, and it's like they just happen to be there. So, like, April writes a book about the first experience, and she goes on the Today Show, and I fucking kid you not, they got the Today Show people to be in this movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Al Roker is doing weather forecasting, and a Sharknado comes and eats him, or, like, attacks him, or it's crazy shit, okay? In fucking sane. Now, the sixth one that they're coming out with, though, I was like, what could they possibly fucking do at this point? They're time traveling. I don't know how that's happening, but they're literally going back in time to, like, the Revolutionary fucking War and, like, way back in the day, Egypt, and, like, they're fighting Sharknados that are somehow traveling throughout history. And I just feel like the Sharknados didn't show up until Finn and April, so maybe if we just kill Finn and April, the Sharknado won't know where to go, and it just won't happen.
Like, what I don't understand is how and why...
How and why is irrelevant, Josh. It's irrelevant.
You're right. It is. It is. Nothing else need be said.
But for, okay, to be completely honest, I didn't like the first one. I really didn't. Jesse has a video of me somewhere, like, sarcastically saying that it was cinematic gold, 10 out of 10 stars. I've never seen a better movie.
That's why you've repeated that to me.
All the time. But then we kind of made it like a ritual almost where, okay, it's Sharknado time. We get me, him, and Jacob together and we get popcorn or we get snacks or usually a pizza is what we were, you know, eating or whatever. And we all sit down and we all watch Sharknado and we live tweet it. During Sharknado 3, we were in our old house and I tweeted out because in the very beginning, there's a shark in a hotel and somehow a maid sweeps it up with a vacuum and like it's bleeding everywhere. And I was like, you know, damn, I need me one of them vacuums or whatever. Oh, no, I tweeted out, must be a shark. Get it? Shark vacuums. Ha, ha, ha. Shark vacuums fucking tweeted me back, and they were like, nothing sucks like a shark.
Wow.
I was loving it. So
wow.
The problem is last year, or almost over a year ago, we got rid of cable because it was too expensive. We only ever watched like HGTV and that was like it. So there was no point in keeping it. So we missed the last one. And so we need to stream it really quick before this comes out tomorrow. But every single year they get more and more dumb because they know that they're a shit show of a movie. And that's what their purpose
is to be dumb. That's what they're going for now. Like that's become like the point of the movie is the joke.
I don't think the first one was meant to be a joke. I think it was meant to be an actual sci-fi movie. And then I think they realized, people make fun of this really hard. Maybe we should just go along with it.
But like, you have a tornado of sharks.
Yeah.
Like the problem with a lot of sci-fi movies is the fact that like, while some generally supernatural and or like extraterrestrial shit is going on, mm-hmm. like there still needs to be like a level of reason behind what's happening right now. Like if we see like people being beamed up or whatever, like we've known you can't see me doing air quotes, aliens to do that shit. So like that doesn't seem like outside of the realm of possibilities.
Speaking
for something
of aliens,
alien.
Though, the fourth one was called Sharknado: The Fourth Awakens. It was a play on Star Wars.
I know.
I just wanted you to know that.
Anyway, just wow, like just.
So and they even know how dumb they are because it's Sharknado, Sharknado 2, the second one, Sharknado 3, oh hell no, Sharknado the Fourth Awakens, Sharknado 5, global warming, and then this one is called The Last Sharknado. It's about time. It is about time. Me to watch Sharknado again.
Okay.
So, there's only so much I can say about Sharknado. Because I do. I love it. It's become a part of me. So I thought this episode, maybe we can just talk about random shit that's ridiculous. And or guilty pleasure, you know, TV shows. Or rituals that we have
guilty pleasure TV shows and movies.
Well, I mean, or literally just anything. Maybe you have a random ritual with football games, or maybe I don't know, or maybe you have a show that's absolutely ridiculous that you watch because it's ridiculous, but you still really love it. Like for me, if it's not Sharknado, my go-to movie on Netflix, if I don't know what to watch, is Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. You seen that one?
No.
Oh my God, Josh. That one I will legitimately recommend to everyone. Number one recommended. It's on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, DM me. I'll hook you up just for Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. So it's a literal comedy parody based on every scary movie ever made. And I don't mean like Scary Movie 1. I mean, it's like a parody based on what if these villains in these movies were just misunderstood. I can't explain it without giving everything away, but okay.
So I think that right there is enough of an explanation because I see why you don't want to say anything else. Knowing how, like, I would imagine a movie like that would be made. Like, I get it.
One of the main guys in it is Alan Tudyk, and I absolutely love Alan Tudyk. He's Wash in Firefly. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what all he's been in, because he's been in a shit ton of stuff. But he's one of my favorite actors, so like that's the only reason I watched it in the first place. But
you found something that you love?
God, I watch it so much. And not because it's Sharknado and it's like, this is absolutely stupid. And I watch it because it's a ritual now. It's just a habit. Like, no, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is A+, 5 stars, legit, no sarcasm, go watch it. We're probably going to have to watch it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We have a plan. We have a plan. So, like, going into my own memory banks about, like, things that I do, I guess, I don't really have guilty pleasure movies or TV shows.
Just the hentai, huh?
Well, no. That's not really a guilty pleasure, but...
I'm not guilty about that at all.
No, literally. But I will say that I have a bunch of guilty pleasure games.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of games that I play that are kind of bad. But I accept them for what they are.
Such as?
Well, the first one and the most relevant one to this being Sonic Adventure 2. Although a lot of people would consider Sonic Adventure 2 to be the last good Sonic game that was ever released. But I say to you, Treasure Hunter. But you haven't played the game. You don't need to understand.
I don't understand.
That in Sonic Adventure 1 was literally a dumpster fire. But... fight me. I don't care what you say, internet. Fight me. It may have the best soundtrack ever, but that gameplay was god awful.
I mean, just because it's got a good soundtrack, sometimes, or I mean opposite, there's been shows, like for example, I loved season 2 of Tokyo Ghoul. I absolutely hated like their most opening. Of the music associated with it. So like you can like something and it has bad parts, or you can hate something and it has good parts.
Another game that I would consider kind of a guilty pleasure. It's like a game that I streamed it once, and I realized very shortly after I started streaming it that I probably shouldn't, but I had committed to streaming it until thing, and I like skipped a bunch of nonsense. But it's called Shantae, the Half Genie Hero.
Okay.
It's a game about this girl named Shantae. Mm-hmm. Who is a half genie.
Okay.
Literally.
It seems kind of like what the video game title would suggest.
Yeah. And so her genie powers are invoked by her dancing. And she only knows one type of dance, which is the belly dance. And so anytime you do anything, like time freezes and she does this weird like hip juggle thing or hip jiggle thing. Until you do, like, a magic spell and then you move on with life.
We have to do one of those for the Let's Play. Can we find it?
I mean, it's on my Xbox.
Oh my god,
yes. I own it, and a lot of the things... So here's the problem. So there have been a lot of Shantae games.
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot more than you would probably think, but most of them were handheld before recently.
So Shantae is the Sharknado of video games?
No. Because Shantae... Well, yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, make fun of me.
Well, here's the thing.
You have your own Sharknado.
Maybe. But the thing is, like, Shantae doesn't... It's like a very self-aware video game. But it's not necessarily poorly made.
Okay.
It's still a good game with a lot of production value. But it knows that it's a video game.
Is this a semi-recent game release? Or is this, like, an older game?
Well, like, the game that I'm referencing, Half Genie Hero, came out, I think it was last year.
Oh, okay.
And it's still getting updates to this day. In fact, it got a free update, like, a week and a half ago. That added, like, a bunch of new modes to it. But that's the first time it's ever been done before. But no, the last Shantae game that came out was called Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, where you were also Shantae, but you lost your genie powers. And so you had to work with mainstay villain Risky Boots. Literally, that's the name of the character. I shit you not. Her name is Risky Boots. And...
Shantae and Risky Boots. God, that seems like a motley crew.
Well, they become pirates, so I'm that's literally the plot is that they become pirates. So Shantae has to use like Risky Boots' pirate gear to do things.
And are her boots risky? Is my question.
Well, I mean, she's,
like, are they high heeled? Could you possibly fall to your
actually
death?
Yes, that's probably, she does. There you go. She does everything in high heels because she's an anime villain.
Oh, basically. That's true. Yeah.
And she also wears very little clothing because she's an anime villain.
Yeah.
So does Shantae, by the way.
I would assume she's doing belly dancing genie things.
So that's a thing. But like the entire Shantae series is a game that I will have just now for the first time admitted that I've played all of. It's not.
Are you okay? Are you feeling good about
that? No, yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm like getting a weight off my shoulders or anything. Like, I don't care.
Thank you for listening to me. It's really been bothering me for a really long time.
But like, it is a game. Like, it's. I don't know if I want to call it fan servicey exactly, because like nothing happens that's like particularly sexual. Like, it's a game that looks like it's made for kids.
Yeah.
But like, it's just got a lot of shit that just doesn't make. Yeah. Sense. And when the game calls itself out on it, like, the characters respond in like fucking hilarious ways, and like it's just a fun self-aware game. And like, a lot of people would think that it's something that it's not if they just like saw it being played or like watched one of the cutscenes.
Yeah.
But like, it all together is a much more interesting package than one would originally expect, although at the same time it's still fucking ridiculous. So That's a thing. Also, like, I like to play really bad old games because they're bad and they're fun.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're the exact same way. I keep trying to convince Jesse, because I went on, like, a video game, like, buying adventure at Half Price Books, because Half Price Books, when they have their big sales and stuff, will still sell, like, old PS2 games and shit, mm-hmm. where GameStop stops, at least the ones by us. I don't know if all GameStops.
All GameStops have stopped selling things that are, like, old.
Which really sucks, because like, that's where I got my copy of Soul Calibur 3 and NBA Street 2 and all the games.
If you're looking for old games, you go to like a secondhand game store, like Game Exchange or like Disc Replay or some shit. That's where you get old games.
Is there even one near us?
There might not be, but yeah. That's where you go.
So I used to go to GameStop, and now I'm on the lookout for them at Half Price Books outlets, because Ashley and I go a lot, especially for now that we have the podcast. Like, anytime there's a big sale, we try to go and document it for the podcast, because we've talked about it, you know, stuff like that. So the last time that we went, instead of getting any books, I just got games. So I got, like, Bratz Adventure and Mary-Kate and Ashley's Sweet 16 and, like, just really random old...
Like, obscure nonsense games.
Yes. Oh, and if I can find, like... knockoff games, that's what I want more than anything. So that's part of the reason that we bought that knockoff SNES, was because I thought I was gonna get knockoff games, and unfortunately most of the games on there are actually stuff that you can find on the actual SNES. And I was expecting to get like Mr. Plumber Man instead of Mario. Like, I was actually kind of hoping for that. But fucking, we got Jaws. We played Jaw, and it was so fucking hard. Like, if you guys have watched that Let's Play, the whole like first 10 minutes is just me trying to figure out how the controls work, because I didn't get far enough in the tutorial to know that like there was something I can turn on to make the controls easier. And I'm just thinking, like, fuck you, PS2, because why would you not make that a part of this game to begin with? Like, hey, you don't want to look like you're, you know, just spinning around in circles for no reason. Let's get you all the way to the end of the tutorial and then tell you that there's a button you can press that'll take care of that. Like, just make it a fucking part of the game. Don't make me fucking throw up before I get through this.
That's unfortunate.
Not even me throwing up. The people watching it most likely were the ones throwing up, because I cannot stress enough that I was, like, up and down and spinning around in circles. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to those controls. But it was so much fun to play.
I just had a thought.
I
would say that if I do... truly have guilty pleasure games,
mm-hmm.
they would have to be the games from at least the last like 5 to 6 years of the Sonic series, because there's no franchise that I am more loyal to than Pokemon and fucking Sonic.
Yeah,
like, those are the two game franchises I've literally played every single entry for. And when I say every single entry, I literally mean like both versions of each Pokemon game.
No.
Because I'm that guy.
No, that's not me.
Now, granted, I don't buy both of them, but I play both of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And that's important to me. So, fucking, because just random shit's different. And enough is different in these most recent entries to, like, have a different experience depending on the game that you buy.
Yeah.
That, and, like, especially since, like, there's, like, a big, like emphasis on like cutscenes and like story. Like some of the things really do happen differently based on like what game you pick now. But that's beside the point. So Sonic, by the way, has not been doing very well. Not really.
No.
In the eyes of the consumer in the general sense. Like the last good Sonic game, a lot of people would consider to be either Sonic Generations or Sonic Adventure 2. There are a lot of games in between there, by the way. In between fucking Sonic Adventure 2 and Sonic Generations. But the main problem is the fact that like a lot of the games that have come out between that time frame like had a lot of like development issues and like they were rushed and just generally buggy messes that are basically impossible to get through without like incredible patience or YouTube. So, because you'll do anything for the YouTube dollars.
Always.
But I played literally to finish every single Sonic game that has ever been released.
Now, what do you mean by to finish instead of to complete?
Like, I will finish the story.
Okay. I know what you mean.
But fuck all the nonsense, especially in, like, the Sonic games that came out, like, basically from about 2005 to 2012. Fuck every game in between there in regards to completion. But I played Sonic Generations to completion. I did everything in that game.
Yeah.
Because it was fun. And because that was a good Sonic game. Even if it may not have been exactly the Sonic game we would have wanted, everything worked. Everything was made well.
Yeah.
And it was fun to play. It did Sonic the way Sonic should have been done.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to add a bunch of extra nonsense to a Sonic game. And then we got literally the crown jewel of the Sonic franchise, Sonic Mania, which is literally the best Sonic game ever made, hands down.
Okay.
Fight me.
I'm not going to fight you. I've never played a single Sonic game. I mean, I know that you're staring at me with a lot of judgment
now. Not at all.
I'm feeling really personally attacked.
No, not really. So, the funny thing is, so for this most recent like release of Sonic games, there were two of them: Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces. So, like about the time that both these games went into development, Sega, the company that makes Sonic, was like, "Fuck, we don't know how to make Sonic anymore." But there have been a lot of people, like either in the modding community or like people who have like legit made actual ports of Sonic for like phones and shit, with like changing a few things and like adding stuff. Like there
Hello
have been...
Average Gaming was just talking about this, where basically they were like, "Hey guys, like you make the next Sonic game."
Basically,
like, yeah.
That's exactly what Sonic Mania is. It is a 100% fan project that is backed and endorsed by Sega, the people who make Sonic. That was made 100% from the ground up by people who have either made Sonic ports in the past or Sonic modders.
Huh.
And that's exactly what Sonic Mania is, and that's why it's the best game, because it's Sonic, it is a Sonic game made by people who love Sonic for Sonic people.
Well, and see, and that makes sense. Like, I mean, Skyrim basically did the same thing with the mods. Like, people were modding everything out on the computers, and people were loving it. Like, the people that were playing it on computers were like, "This is amazing. I have to do this." Like, our friend Clay has, like, you know, he has gaming systems and everything, but he got a nice gaming computer just so that he could play Skyrim modded, because they had a mod that he saw online where you can turn all dragons into jet planes that play Danger Zone.
That's amazing.
And so anytime, instead of, like, the battle music coming in, it's just like, so he played that, and then all
what?
Of a sudden they were like, "Hey guys, we know that you like modding in on the computer. Don't worry, we're gonna hook you up on consoles as well." So I mean, they're listening to people. At least I don't think they did that so much because they didn't know what to do, but I think they were like, "Hey, people tend to like this.
People
we'll
want these mods. Let's
give the people what they want.
Let's try to make it happen." But no, the other thing that came out with Sonic Mania was another Sega-created project called Sonic Forces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider Sonic Forces to be a bad game, because we've seen, like, buggy mess bad games that just don't work.
Yeah.
And nothing can be worse than that. Literally. Like, you can't make a game worse than a game that does not game.
Yeah.
But, like, Sonic Forces does everything right. Like, it's not like a bug-riddled mess. The game itself is kind of uninteresting, sure, but it works.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have to go so low to say that the game is not bad because it works.
Yeah.
That's That's my problem here. And so that's why, for the most part, because I've played Sonic Forces to completion. I've also played Sonic Mania to completion. And then Sonic Mania came out with an update that I also played to completion. But, like, now that I'm thinking about it more, like, if I do have any sort of guilty pleasure in any medium, it has to be the Sonic franchise. Because...
Are you really guilty about it, though?
Yes. Because there's a lot of games in the Sonic franchise that I should not have played. Like Sonic Boom,
yeah.
I should not have played. Sonic Boom on 3DS, I also should not have played. But I played that game to completion. I played that game to finish.
To finish.
Because I did not want to do all the things over again, because fuck that game.
Yeah. So when you say to completion, you mean you literally went back, got every single coin, every single ring, every single challenge you were supposed to complete.
Yep.
Fuck that. No. I can honestly tell you, I have never played a game to full completion then.
Most people don't.
Not a single
game. Like, very few gamers go for completion. Well, because here's the thing. Like, and this is random tangent, but I'm owning this because this is relevant to what I'm trying to talk about.
This is basically a tangent riddle episode. We can talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Well, tangent on tangent. Game design has changed astronomically from the older days. Like, back in the day, going all the way through a game was playing a game to completion.
Yeah.
Because you had to do all that to get to the end, because games were fucking hard.
Yeah.
So, like, just getting to the end of the game was a challenge in and of itself that, like, a completionist would take on.
Yeah.
Because you had to do all the things or collect all the things or whatever just to make it to the fucking end of the game.
Yeah.
That was just how it worked. For example, Ghouls and Goblins.
Never played that.
Most people know it as like an arcade game. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that it had a console release.
Okay.
And the way that the game works, you as like your character had to like go through all these like basically the legions of hell to fight the devil. Right? And after you beat the devil, you find out that the game that you've just played was an illusion by the devil. And you had to play through the game backwards to get back to the devil to defeat him again.
What the fuck?
So you had to go through the game twice, backwards one way, to actually get to the end of the game. But that wasn't the actual end of the game. That was the bad ending. You could play it then again through one more whole time.
God.
To fight the devil one more time and win, and then you got the good ending. Which was literally a screen of you saving the princess and good end. At above it, or
it was either good end or the end.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, this is a game that you don't have save points in this.
Oh my
like,
God.
You have to do this all in one
sitting. It was
like
the original fucking Dark Souls.
Basically, like all games back in the day were Dark Souls because they had to be hard or they weren't played for the years it would take to make a new one.
Yeah. Dang.
Like, to this day, like, I didn't finish any of the old Sonic games until I was like an adult. Because old Sonic games are fucking hard.
Yeah. See, I don't see Sonic as a guilty pleasure just because, like, Sonic seems like a normal game. When you're talking about guilty pleasures, you're talking about the fact that you're talking to a person right now that is ashamed to admit that she used to play the Episodes game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What?
Episodes. It's a game that they advertise on Facebook all the time, and it's where you make, like, a little cartoon character of yourself, and you get in, like...
Episodes,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, they're
like
all
scenarios.
Like, yeah, they're all like themed, usually romance related. Who do you date? What if he cheats on you? They're like story related, choose your own adventure games, but none of them are good. They're all like drama. They're like drama ridden. Not only did I play the games, but the reason I deleted it is because I was then spending money on the games to get the outfit that would get me the date with the guy. Yeah. So fucking stupid. And I, like, at the time, it's not like we had the money for it. It's not like we were broke because I was spending money on it. But I literally sat there and looked at myself and was like, I would literally be so ashamed of me if I was Jesse. Because all he sees is Google Play charge or whatever. He can't see what I'm spending it on.
Right.
So I was lying, telling him that I was spending it on Pokemon Go. Oh, I ran out of Pokeballs. I needed to do that. Babe, we just went to a Pokemon stop. I know I just suck at catching Pokemon. I just ran out of Pokeballs. So, like, as soon as I started lying about where it was going to, I was like, no, if you're this ashamed that you can't tell him what you're spending it on, you then, don't then need to be playing this game.
You might need to. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I was super into Farmville.
A guilty pleasure. There you go.
Like, I fucking mastered my farm when I played Farmville, dude. Like, I was that guy who sent all of my friends a Facebook invite.
Oh,
and
no.
Was like everybody was super mad at me because they were like, we don't play Farmville anymore. But I'm like, I want your free coins.
Yeah.
Like, just accept it. I don't care.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything else.
My stepmom used to be that way. She's like, can you just accept that? Can you send me a gift really quick? I'm like, man, no, I'm not playing this game. I'm not doing it. Oh, come on. You don't have to do anything. Just get on there. Send me something. Will you just visit my farm or do something? No, I will not. So I eventually just had to, like, block requests. And I couldn't block all game requests from her. I could just block Farmville requests. So I did that. And then she started playing another game that was like Farmville, but not Farmville.
Yeah.
So then I had to block that, too. And I'm like, Manda, fucking stop.
Yep. But, I mean, I played the shit out of that. It's not a guilty pleasure, so I don't know if I'd count it. Because it was a game that I actually really enjoyed. It's called Dragon Fable. No, it's like super, super incredibly obscure.
Yeah.
Like internet-based, like Java game where you are like, you're not the Dragonborn because this is long before Skyrim. This is like before Oblivion days.
Dial-up days.
It was like, well, it was incredibly well made, but it was like not serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a bunch of the situations involved like, I mean, there were like kind of epic fights or whatever, but it was like a turn-based RPG where you could play as like a bunch of different classes and you had like special abilities that you could do like whatever. But it as a game was incredibly silly. Like, for example, like one of the first fights that you have is against what is considered the final boss, but like he's pitying you. So like as you attack him, he's talking shit. And so, like, it's just really funny, and, like, he's a dragon, and then, like, because he's huge, you only see his face whenever he shows up the first time, and so, one of the things that they do, like, after you get done fighting, because, like, your character, I think it's, like, after, like, 5 turns of that fight, your character's like, well, I obviously can't beat you, so there's no point in fighting, and then he's like, well, good, because I have no intention to kill you, and so, like, your character's like, but where's the rest of your body? And then, like, you see the camera, like, zoom out, and he's literally just a disembodied head. And he's like, get that camera back here. And then, like, just a bunch of, like, random nonsense. And it was really fun. But I spent money on that game, too, because you could be, like a premium member or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, get a bunch of really cool, useful rewards that were, like, relevant for in-game stuff. But it had, like a bunch of seasons worth of content, and like, it was, yeah, I mean, it's probably still active. I could probably still find it and log back in to this day.
That would be amazing.
Fuck, dude. Like, just, it's an incredibly silly game. Like, there was one side quest where you had to go rescue a dude who was in a kicked over outhouse. So, like, you had to deal with that. But I said all that to say Dragon Fable's great, and people should play it.
So,
it's phenomenal.
I feel like we're just, like, on a kick of video game guilty pleasures now, which is, like, totally fine by me, because, like, yes. I feel like, at this point, this comes confession time for me, because my biggest guilty pleasure, I don't even call it just guilty. Like, not even, it's not even really for pleasure. I have definitely played far too many of the Newgrounds adult games.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's one of those things that I'm not, like, can't, like, fap to it, but, like,
I mean, you can still...
Well, I mean, I know, but I wouldn't, like, be fapping.
Exactly fap,
but that's the thing. I didn't do it to fap. I just did it to do it. Like, this is an interesting game that I haven't played.
Here's the thing. So you're going to learn maybe a little bit more about me than you may have wanted to in this episode. So, and I guess our viewers can learn
a
bit about me as well. So I am this is a guilty pleasure because I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. I am a connoisseur of adult games.
Yes.
I literally have a folder on my computer of like saved adult games that I think are enjoyable enough to enjoy as regular games.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that there's anything wrong with a game that is enjoyable that has porn.
No.
Because I think that
it's
the
still
porn
a game
just,
at that point. Yeah. Like, it's still
like
strategy.
It's still fun and whatever it's supposed to be before the porn. The porn is just an extra
an
little
extra
bit of
little
greatness.
Tidbit.
So, yeah, that is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine.
Absolutely.
I have most certainly browsed the Newgrounds adult section many a time.
Oh my
god,
to
find some interesting things, because a lot of interesting things could put there, I would say.
Yes. And the funny thing is like, so I found out about the Newgrounds games when, god, like actually just the appropriate games, probably when I was like 10. And I found out about the adult site because they used to actually have a tab on their website. Now you actually have to just go to like a back, like you have to know to search for the adult
Basically,
things because
yeah.
there's no like drop down tab for it anymore.
Yep.
But I found out about it probably not till I was like 13 or 14. So like I definitely played them before I should have, but
I feel like most people who got into those things probably
did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I forgot about it, like, moved on with my life, whatever. And I was in college, and all of a sudden, like, this ad on a website popped up for just regular Newgrounds games. And I was like, I wonder.
What's changed since I've been there?
You know, the funny thing is not a whole lot. There's still a lot of the old classics that I can remember.
Yeah,
because
they don't get rid of any of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're all still there. Along with all the crazy new ones that have been added.
Guiltiest of pleasures.
Oh, yeah. I would say if I have really divulged an actual guilty pleasure, it's my love for adult games.
Yeah, I mean,
because
you were worried about Sonic at first. You were like, fight me, guys. And now you're like, I have porn.
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. It's good porn.
Well, some of it is. Most of it's trash.
Well, I mean, it's game porn, though, so it's like it's acceptable.
No,
like the NSA is not going to raid your house for game porn.
Well, true.
So,
well, I don't think I do anything that the NSA would raid my house for, this as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, that's right. NSA, mind
your
business.
Don't fight me.
Mind your business. Yeah, fight Josh IRL.
No, don't please don't, because I'll lose.
Like, watch the next podcast. I'm like, well, so Josh actually got raided by the NSA.
Maybe he has a little too much on his computer. He shouldn't have admitted it to the internet. Quit trying to out me, Megan.
Sorry. I'm trying to think if there's any more, like, shows that I watched that I'm, like, ashamed that I watched.
I mean, I was a little worried that, like, my girlfriend would come in when I was watching Kakegurui. Because I feel like she wouldn't understand it and would think that I was watching porn.
That's the funny thing is, you're not.
No.
Okay. Back way back in the day. I think at this point everyone has seen Rent that wanted to see it. Have you seen
Rent?
Yeah, Rent. The
movie
Rent.
I have not seen Rent, no.
Do you want to see it? It's fantastic.
I mean, I've heard that it's fantastic.
The music is wonderful.
As a member of the LGBT community, I've been told that I should watch it.
And also a musician.
I've been told that I should watch it, but I haven't yet.
One of the main characters in it, her name is Mimi, and she's an exotic dancer. And so she does this, like, exotic dance at a club called the Cat Scratch Club. And she likes to dance in handcuffs and cages and stuff while she's doing this one, because she's, like, a really popular dancer there now, and so she gets like her own spotlight thing.
That's cool.
And she's in like these really short shorts and high boots and just this really sexy outfit. And there's at one point where she's coming down these steps like really sexily, she pauses and like kicks her legs apart in the air, holding herself up by the stairs. Well, at that point, my friend Brandon had called me, paused the movie, I'm on the phone, my brother walks in, is convinced I am watching porn.
Because of just her spread eagle?
Yeah, because
that's
the pause, is just her spread eagle.
That's great.
So, the most hilarious part, though, is that Brandon had also been watching it, like, the week beforehand, and his wasn't paused or anything, but his mom came in during that scene and is like, what are you watching?
I love it how people only seem to, like, come bother you during things like that at literally
the worst possible time
and no other.
Yeah.
Literally just the worst.
My mom came in when I was watching Boondock Saints, which is my literal favorite movie of all time.
Understandable.
During the scene where he's just coming up with different ways to use the phrase fuck, and she's like, this is not appropriate. You should not be watching this. And I was like, the rest of the movie's fine. So she stays, and of course, right after that, there's a part where he's, like, fondling a hooker.
Yeah.
And so it's like, shit.
Well, I thought the rest of the movie was fine, Mom. I was not expecting this part because I had forgot it was there.
It's still my favorite movie of all time. I actually have the prayer from Boondock Saints tattooed down my side, so, like...
I thought that's what that was, but yeah. I mean, I've only seen it, like, once ever.
And shepherds we shall be, for thee, my lord, for thee. Power hath descended forth from thy hand, that our feet may swiftly carry out thy command. And we shall flow a river forth to thee, and teeming with souls shall it ever be. In nomine Patri et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti.
Ben. Does he look like a bitch?
Wrong movie, but also love it. That's another guilty pleasure of mine that has nothing to do with TV. Well, I guess it has something to do with movies. Jesse and I like to pretend to be Samuel L. Jackson every once in a while and just use the phrase motherfucker like way too much.
Because why not? I just realized, oh no.
What?
I'm an idiot.
What?
I'm so sorry.
I also just realized that prayer I read is on the poster right behind us, and if I had forgotten at any point, I could have just turned around.
I just fucking confused Pulp Fiction and Boondock Saints.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were just naming, like, other cult classic movies.
No, I legit confused the two.
Do you want me to edit that out so people don't know?
No, we can leave it in.
You want to live in your shame?
I mean, I've already released my guiltiest of pleasures.
Oh yeah. Well, so, I opened that guilty pleasure, so you're not alone. It's
that's
okay.
Fair. That's fair.
It's definitely okay.
I can live in the shame.
But no, when we're quoting, it's something along the lines of something that would rhyme with surprise motherfucker. So it's like surprise motherfucker, large fries motherfucker, because there's a Vine out there that did that. So we just come up with things. I think one of the ones that Jesse came up with is like bat eyes motherfucker, and he'll just come up and like blink his eyes really hard at me, like, oh my god.
That's pretty great.
That's definitely a guilty pleasure.
I need to know now how many things rhyme with surprise.
A lot. And that has nothing... I know I said that, like, we quote Samuel L. Jackson. That's not even Samuel L. Jackson. That's from the show Dexter. You ever... I don't know if you've seen that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not all of it, but I've seen it.
That's
enough
the,
to
the
understand.
Cop that's always behind him will, like, pop up out of nowhere, and that's his line. It's surprise,
motherfucker. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, like, that's all we do is we quote Samuel L. Jackson, and then we come up with things that rhyme with that guy. With that guy's phrase. So that's pretty guilty pleasure. I also like putting just my thumb in Jesse's pocket and touching his armpits. I don't mean like fondling his armpits.
No, I
just mean like
I'm more confused about the thumb thing.
Oh,
like,
just my thumb in his pocket.
Like armpits is whatever, but like I'm really I'm really confused as to why you put just your thumb.
Because it's my pocket. I can do what I want.
Like,
I mean, if it's really cold outside, I'll put my whole hand in it. But otherwise, I just tuck my thumb in, and then that's my pocket. And he gets real upset about it, but he lets me do it anyway because he knows it brings me pleasure.
Like what?
I like how you're more concerned about the pocket than the fact that I really like molesting him because he hates his armpits being touched. So I'll just sneak up behind him and like slip my hands into his armpits and yell pitties and just like rub his armpit hair.
I mean, here's the thing. The reason why I don't think that's weird is because every couple has a weird thing,
like that.
I can't, I'm not going to divulge ours, but like that's much more common to me. That's much more common sounding
just a thumb
than
in a
to put just your fucking thumb in somebody's pocket. Like I'm used to hearing people say that they put their hands in people's pocket,
no.
But not just like one
just,
specific
just
finger.
My thumb. Just
like
my
that's
thumb.
Wow. You know what? I feel like we're just gonna go ahead and end it there. I don't know how to continue this conversation now. So that can just be the end of this episode.
So if you guys have a weird guilty pleasure that you would like to divulge, go for it. It feels so good to get it out. In
well,
the public
I don't know if I agree with that part.
And let
but
people know about the Newgrounds games that you play. But I mean, we'd love to hear them.
Yes.
We'll talk with you about them.
We would. Yes, and, please.
Or if they're appropriate and legal, possibly experience them with you. Like if you have something to recommend, like I enjoy drinking pickle juice after I take a shot of Fireball, which I do know somebody that does that. Let me know. I'll try it out.
Yeah, so I was pretty done with this conversation after the thumb in pocket. I'm even more done with this conversation after pickle juice, after Fireball. Like, yeah, we can... I'm about to just stop the recording now. I'm
just kidding. Oh, so you're ready to go watch Chicken Run then? It's not as funny when it's not just out of nowhere. I'm trying to get it in there like I do with Ashley when I bring up fucking Yeti in the Mist every episode. I'm trying to squeeze Chicken Run into some part of our conversation.
Of every single conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done it so far. So pretty much every single conversation we've had, you mentioned Chicken Run in some way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'm good so far, but...
Like, literally, even in conversations
could,
that
it could
we...
could be better, though.
Because I was talking to David on Xbox the other day, and you were at David's house, and you told David to ask me...
Yeah, I typed it out, and I was like, say this exact phrase, and I typed it for him, and he was like, hey, Josh, so you've seen Chicken Run, right? And he goes, tell Megan to fuck off.
I swear to God.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it then for this episode of The Subject Tonight. I'm Megan.
I'm Josh. And
we'll see
I'm
ya.
Still on patrol.
Oh, yes. High five, buddy. Still on patrol.
100% like my mom or Sammy's going to listen to this and is going to like ask me like 50 million questions about everything that I've apparently been hiding from them.